Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. And, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself if you're actually listening to this to hear a review of something that was trash. But then again, you might want to listen to this because all it is attacking. And it's nothing nice because a nice show is fucking boring. When you rip the shit out of people constantly, that's actually entertaining. So maybe that's why you guys listen. I'm Cab Manning. I do a show. It's called The Lingus Mafia. And I'm with your number one guy for all of your sports entertainment, pro wrestling fucking news. I don't know if I feel sorry for you, Billy, that you're like the number one guy in the fucking worst age of wrestling in the fucking of all time. Like, not even when it's like, I mean, if you were doing this during Attitude Era, how fucking great would that be?
I would have been like 15, so.
Yeah, it was a lot more exciting. It's funny because this week I watched SmackDown late. I watched SmackDown Monday. And while I'm watching, because I enjoy SmackDown the most, I wasn't home on a weekend. Usually I watch it the morning after. So I'm watching it and I see a commercial come on for this Monday on Raw. And it's a rematch with T-Bag and fucking Car Antenna versus fucking Strowman and Drew. And I'm like, you've got to be fucking... And then it was... And Lashley addresses his opponent for WrestleMania Backlash. And I'm like, I'm out. I go, I can't... I fucking can't do this to myself. I will not insult myself. I will not punish myself. I watched fucking replay fucking Golf Network on one TV last night while watching something that is 100 times better, is that WWE Hidden Treasures and the biography that was on Piper this week, and had a much better time. You have the shakes a little bit because you think like you're missing something. But Billy did notes and everything like that. And then I see on Instagram multiple things where I saw the fucking faces of Car Antenna and fucking, what's the other guy's fucking name, T-Bag? And all I thought of when I saw the fucking black guy was Milli Vanilli. It looked exactly like one of the fucking album covers.
That's exactly what I thought as well.
Oh my God, I started looking up album covers today because I was like, there's a
especially
fucking...
with that makeup.
Yeah, the makeup made it look like he was in a fucking glam rock band. What the fuck is this? He looked... I told you when this whole Retribution bullshit happened, I said, the one guy I fucking like is that black guy, because that Predator fucking look, it looked good. He had the black eye makeup. He looked fucking scary. He looked... I go, what the fuck is this? He should just have that mask. I thought they were getting away from shit then, you know, because they had the mask ripped off. Like, oh, and so this is what they fucking do? This is the change. What they do for them. Oh, my fucking God. I really, you've got to fucking find out from anyone you happen to know over there. There has to be, who came up with this? Who suggested this? Who thought this is the way we're going to do it? We're going to make him look like fucking Fab and Rob over here. And, I mean, fuck. I laugh just that we're not supposed to know that's the guy from NXT either. The fucking other one. You know, I'm like, come on.
What's even fucking stupider is that, okay, maybe you don't watch NXT, even though we know Corey Graves does. It's like, Okay, maybe you could turn around and go, yeah, we just watch Raw. That's not really your job, because every time an NXT call-up, yeah, comes out, like when Rhea Ripley comes out, they have to pop for it. So
yes,
they're watching the same show where they went nuts for Rhea Ripley, and they didn't know who Dijakovic was, even though he was there for a couple of years. But the other guy, he sat next to you every week. it's like, didn't they go, oh, that was the guy that was, oh, I know that guy. He used to sit next to us every week. We used to go over the show, like, no.
Holy shit, like, look who it is. Well, he has eye makeup on. They can't tell who he is. I have no fucking idea. It's like Superman. He put on those glasses. Not a fucking idea in the world of who that person is now.
And this is the thing. This is the problem with Ascension and why Ascension couldn't be Ascension, because everything in 2021 needs to like cater for black people a little bit, because that's the new rule. It's like, oh, it has to
especially
black
if you watch the Oscars the other night. Fuck.
You have to make sure black people are happy with what we're doing, and women too. So, they've got the Ascension 2.0 half black. So that's exactly where it needs to be. That's exactly what Ascension and LOD and Demolition and all these guys were missing. They were clearly like racist and offending people in some way.
Oof.
So this is actually a good they've got the, they tick a lot of boxes here. Like they've got the they look like they're kind of like the road warriors, and then they integrate like one black person in there, so they cover those bases as well. They've got like the homosexual like look, not necessarily with the gear.
It was like Orlando Jordan.
That's a Demolition were wearing always wrestling in this bondage gear.
No, I'm talking, yeah, the Predator guy looked like a little bit of Orlando.
Do you remember when Orlando went full gay in TNA when they were like trying to start Ratings War, and he was out there, was like fucking
with a guy and a girl,
his bare feet and all this
lollipops and shit. I actually, that was when like you could actually see some of TNA, and you were, you know, curious of what was going on when they were actually hot for a minute. And he would come down from the fucking ceiling with the fucking caution tape on, and I even liked the music he had.
Do you find it weird that Hulk Hogan was booking that?
That is interesting that Hogan would be booking that.
He's supposed to be like this big racist, but
Velveteen Dream, though. I mean, it's very close to that.
Oh, it was Velveteen Dream before Velveteen Dream was there.
Yeah,
like, definitely. That's a weird thing, is like with this all this like getting over as many black guys as they possibly can. Like the most talented one isn't even on TV because
where is he? Is he just laying low because of all the shit that people giving him?
He's laying low until these people shut the fuck up. But these fucking losers are not going to shut the fuck up, because it's been like a year. And when they were doing releases, everybody's people were going,
oh my God,
fucking, please tell me that Velveteen Dream is going to be one of these people. Please tell me you're going to fire Matt Riddle. Why?
You imagine that they root for the fucking people that are actually worth watching. Like, I watch NXT if he's on. Like, I would actually put it on. There's a couple of those guys, because I guess Cass went to, as my name would be Cass, right? Went to TNA, right? And Fausti told me, he goes, hey, Big Cass showed up at TNA. He goes, if Enzo shows up on TNA, I actually might have to fucking watch it. And I was like, oh, fuck, I hope he doesn't go to TNA, because I don't even know where the fuck it is. And also, they have like 0-0 crowd, like nobody. So, yep. I mean, talk about a fucking waste to fucking bother.
That's not right for him, no.
No, he's got to do, if he's going to go anywhere, if he can, you know, AEW. And I would actually start watching AEW for him. That, I mean, that shows you, you know, somebody's that good.
I'm watching AEW from Mike Tyson, so.
Is he actually there like every week?
He was there for a few weeks in a row, yeah.
Boy.
I was going to say, the Velveteen Dream thing. I don't know why they care, because they were not that kid or that kid's family or anything like that. It's that's the thing. Like, it's kind of like when people do these movies, and Mel Gibson did what he did, and certain actors are involved in whatever they're involved with, they apologize, they move on, and then they come and do the movie. Like Robert Downey Jr. did loads of fucking shit before he got the role in Avengers. And all of a sudden now, like no one harps on about it. I don't know why they let this, the real life persona of these actors, which is how they should be looked at, bother them so much. It's like, look, I listen to Michael Jackson, and I don't believe that he did all the stuff that he did, right?
Yeah.
But if he did, if there's video evidence and like DNA, and he went to jail and everything like that, and you know, and he ended up dying in prison, I still listen to everything that he did.
Of course,
it makes no difference to me at all. I'd just be like, yeah, you know, he did this, but he was a genius.
Yeah,
so,
but boy, he got some good songs.
Exactly, it's like fucking. Are you turning off? I Believe I Can Fly and all these other songs that are coming. It's like, are people actually, when this stuff comes on, not that it actually doesn't come on the radio anymore, but if it did, if it came on somewhere that you were at, would someone go around and go, excuse me, you need to turn this off right now. I'm offended by this. Do you know what this man did? Turn this music off now. Who's doing that? Who are these people that are turning around and going, turn this shit off right now?
You imagine. I mean, I actually went and bought more R. Kelly songs when all the fucking documentaries came out because they were playing some of it.
You try to listen for hints. You try to listen for hints in the lyrics.
No, I go.
Apparently he dropped a load of shit, didn't
he? Well, there's a lot of fucking banging stuff on there. But that funny thing is, like, I never really listened to his shit before. There was a here and there song that I liked or whatever, right? But there were songs I discovered.
My mind is telling me no. My mind is telling me no, but my body's telling me yeah. Do you think that's definitely about that?
Probably. I mean, I fucking, there's a fucking song. No, not even a little bit. I could care less if he had them all chained up and was sticking them one by one. You tell me a good song. It's the same as I care about the sports people. Oh, the steroids, I don't care if you shoot fucking heroin on the fucking field. You hit the fucking ball. I don't give a fuck. You know, so none of that shit ever fucking bothered me. I mean, I think
they should eliminate all the drug testing altogether. Like, it's like, do you want to do it yourself? That's fine. If you want to win more than him, just go out there. I want to see a whole, like, maybe, okay, fine. The UFC have their rules and their whatever. But I want to see, like, a non-drug tested version of, like, MMA where they just fight and just see who can get the most fucking.
They encourage them to do steroids.
Yeah. So, like, you're going to get as big as you can, as powerful as you can. Like, I want to see the real, like, most ridiculous looking people just beating the shit out of each other. Like, I would be all down for that. It wouldn't bother me.
Well, I mean, they had to change those old UFC rules because originally it was like fucking nothing. Those first couple, I mean, it was boring because all they would do is wrap around each other and lay there for fucking 45 minutes. And yeah, that was a little fucking rough. But other than that, like, I remember the guy who carried. Did you watch like all of the UFCs as a kid? Like, you rented the first tapes and all that shit where no, it was like it was like King of the Ring they would do.
I didn't really. I couldn't. There was nothing out for it. Like, there was no access to it. It was only when around about those mid 2000s where it came. I mean, I watched every one since Wild Brock was there.
Oh wow! I mean, you might want to go back to just for history and watch the first three because it was King of the Ring style. You had to fight four fucking times.
I know this show.
Oh my god! It was brutal, but it was like. Zero fucking rules. You did what you wanted. And one guy, some fucking Asian guy, I remember he carried a cross to the ring like he was Jesus. And he was dragging this cross. And I remember he was in the fucking match. He had somebody in like a fucking head scissor or something. And all the other guy kept doing was punching him in the balls over and over. And like he kept trying to fucking just held on to him. And he was just getting his balls obliterated. And finally, he fucking lost. But, like, afterwards, he was just laying there, bent over, dying. But it was no rules at all. I think it was, like, only maybe biting and eye gouging. That was the only thing you weren't allowed to do. But everything else, they were fucking killing each other. So that was fucking interesting. But, yeah, it did get boring, though.
That was when I saw it in. So I saw it mentioned in Friends before Shamrock was in WWE.
Mm, and I just finished that Shamrock match, by the way, versus Vader. Watching a Cold Day in Hell right now on my TV. Gearing up for our Russo show, doing some homework. I was going to ask you, did you have any fucking questions for this week's show? Because I go, eventually, it's the same question because they're in the same storylines. I go, shit, man, we might not have any questions, but I already have a couple. But I get nervous about that. Like, the well will run dry.
No, it's only an hour show, so I think it'll be fine. Yeah.
All right, let's get into shit that happened.
I mean, it would help if he knew exactly what was going on. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's difficult because you want to go, like, why did you book this at this pay-per-view?
Yes.
Or why did you do this? And it's difficult. But listen, we need
and he's
to...
not booking yet. Yeah.
We have that other show, though, that we need to put out between these two shows. The review of the last and the preview of the next.
Yeah, I gotta actually listen back to that show then to even remember what the hell we talked about. Cause that's a problem too. Half the time, like, I'll have a question and I go, "Fuck, did we ask that on the last one?" You know, I'm trying to fucking think. Fuck, did we say this? So, let's get into SmackDown, which I watched. Cesaro and Seth Rollins and Uso and Bryan and Roman. everybody comes out one by one because, of course, Cesaro still wants his title shot, which he beat one person one time, so he gets a, you know, championship match, of course. And it turns into a tag match, which is going to be Bryan and Cesaro versus Uso and Cesaro, Rollins.
Cesaro hasn't lost a match in 2021.
There you go. Fucking, who's he fought?
He beat Daniel Bryan. And,
oh, yeah.
And he beat Seth Rollins. I think they're the main people.
Yeah, you know what? They should make then a point of that, because that's a good point then. I fucking stand, you know, stand down
probably,
a little bit more.
They probably haven't even noticed.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, they knew that they were going to start pushing him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he was supposed to win the chamber, and then he's supposed to get the title shot at Fastlane.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously Bryan was going to get the thing at Mania. That was what they were supposed to do.
Yeah,
like there was supposed to be a lot of stuff that they didn't do. Nakamura was supposed to face Roman at some point as well before this before WrestleMania. So I mean, Roman's just working through guys. Roman's working through a list of people he wants to work with. I mean, this is some of these stuff was conditional on him like coming back, and they said, you know, what it take for you to come back? This ages ago, and he's like, I want to do this turn heel, be with Paul, work with this guy, get my cousin over, like, yeah, all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. So I mean, they're doing everything he wants to do, but yeah, Cesaro and Nakamura, who I cannot see a match with at this point, but Cesaro is on the list, so they knew that earlier on in the year, so no one has actually put a loss on him in this calendar year.
See, and then they should say that, because the way they come across on TV, even like Roman and Uso even say, they're like, you beat one guy and it was lucky, you know, and I'm like, they don't do that. The, you know, he's been on a roll, and that would make more sense that he does get a shot, because in the short term memory, like I have for wrestling, it is, oh, he beat Rollins. Now he's, why is he asking for a title shot? But there's much more to it than that. So after this tag match, do you know how long the opening, this is a whole opening segment, them all talking and having the match. It is 41 minutes from the fucking open. That's a long, that's fucking almost half the show is fucking gone.
Yeah, and this show doesn't need to do that. Like,
no.
I did find this pretty, when I watched this with Austin,
mm-hmm.
I said to him, like, you know, after the match was done, the match was made.
Yeah.
I said, fast forward it through from now. There's going to be, because he fast forwards the ad break.
Yeah.
And I was going to go, if you fast forward now, there's going to be an ad break and then another ad break. So come back for that one. So it was like, yeah, skip 15 minutes basically, because the finish was like about 7 or 8 minutes after they came
back.
The
next break. Yeah. Nia loses to an up and comer, Tamina. All of a sudden, Tamina's popular now. She changed her fucking clothes. And I guess people are kind of like, you know, do something. Why you waste somebody? I mean, there's no need for a jobber in the women's division. There really isn't. There's only fucking 10 people. So, you know, everyone should kind of be a little bit of a threat. KO versus Apollo for the IC title. This is the other one where they don't remember Daba Kato. And he's Commander Aziz and shit. I'm like, fucking Commander Aziz. So fucking shitty.
And that's the thing, like Commander Aziz, that's not even a Nigerian name.
I see, I wouldn't even know. I'm like, is Aziz, Aziz sounds more fucking like a Muslim territory.
It is, like you get these, and you do get these like Nigerian Muslims. Umar is, but yeah, I've never known of one to be called Aziz.
Jesus Christ. I did chuckle here when, because of course, the commander gives the Nigerian nail, or, what was fucking Umaga's called? Samoan Spike. The Nigerian nail, the Samoan Spike. And he's fucking out drooling on himself, but Sami Zayn doing a fucking dance over Owens. That's fucking funny. I was fucking laughing at that, the fucking dance moves he had. Because I go, you got better the rhythm than I fucking have. I guess they said, since we didn't fire him, we'll give him something to do. Aleister Black has a fucking promo video. How about that?
This is actually good.
Yeah, they're doing something finally, you know. I mean, it is, though, if you look at it, it is very repetitive of anybody who becomes bad guy. It's always you people, you know, in society. It's always, you know, you fans have done horrible things. There's a lot of that with anybody who fucking turns bad. They don't really have originality much. But we're going to see what the fuck he does. I don't know what different he will come out to be like. I think it's going to be the same fucking character. However, he just fucking fights a good guy.
It depends where they go with what he's saying. Like, what he's saying is not fundamentally the same as, like, you know, just saying that, that you people this, you people that. I mean, he's criticizing him in a more specific way about the way that they live and the way that they think and how basic they are. I mean, these are things that you could,
they can build
like, there are people, you know, that have, this has been in the media a lot, or not in the media, in the dark web a lot as of late. He's conducting himself as a dark web character where he's kind of saying, you guys are the op. He's not saying this because it goes against company policy, but there's a lot of people doing videos like this where they're going, oh, you guys, you just listen to what your governments are telling you to do. You don't even know what's in the vaccine. Like, it goes, you talk about people there, you know, they're saying that you talk about the testing in the guinea pigs. You are the guinea pigs. You are the stupid guinea pigs. And I've seen a lot of videos like that, mm-hmm. where it's kind of like in relation to the current climate. And this is what he's doing in terms of saying that, like, you just, they've altered it in terms of saying you just sit there and consume like TV and junk food or whatever he's going to turn it into. He's basically trying to be like a, it's like a sophisticated goth in the sense, like, the two things won't really sort of go together. So I think the goth side of it is going to be lessened. I mean, obviously when he wrestles, you'll see all the tattoos and stuff, but I don't see a gothy element to this. This looks more like him trying to be more intelligent than you.
After this, we have Bailey having a little backstage interview. What do you think of Bailey with those low-key big tits? Have you seen her sister's titties? We've talked about that before, right?
Yeah.
Those are something else. I still try to see. I guess she lives at her mother's house over here now. She moved back home, which I don't know why she would move to the fucking to the West Coast when you have to be in Florida every fucking week. Do that after the fucking pandemic.
Who's that, Bailey?
Yeah.
Well, Bailey moved in with her mom.
Yeah, back in San Jose. Because she broke up with her boyfriend.
But she's got millions of dollars.
I don't know if she has a million. You think she got millions? I don't think she got millions. I think she has a couple hundred.
That's bullshit. She would not. A couple of hundred what? Million?
100,000. How much do you think she gets a year?
She's on a massive contract.
Bailey? Really?
Sasha and all those four horsewomen, they kind of like keep re-upping for the same deals. So they'd be like on a million and a half after they've earned all their, you know, extras and stuff. But I mean, their basics would be around about 750,000. So I mean, she's got to have like 4 or 5 million tucked away by now.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, this is a problem with this company. Like I spoke about it on Russo's thing. This is not like the old days where you need to get your 1 year deal renewed and everything. Like, these people are guaranteed to make, like, even at the lowest level, like an R-Truth, who's been renewing $500,000 contracts. He's probably getting even more than that now. He's probably on 750 now, just out of loyalty.
Yeah.
But he's been renewing these deals for how many years now? Like, he's been there for what, 15 years?
Yeah, since he came back, something like that. It's a fucking long time.
Yeah, so this guy has got like fucking 7 kids and 7 cars and 5 houses and all this kind of shit, like merchandising and bonuses and all that kind of stuff. So they'll all end up making about approximately, I would say, 8 million across 5 years. So,
Jesus.
So yeah, I mean, she's going to have a ton of money, like, stashed away. And she's going to be, like, owning properties and cars, and depends what she invests in, or whether she's just got a big wad of cash in her bank. I don't know.
Christ.
There's no poor people. There's no poor... There's no poor person there now that does... Like, Bo Dallas, when he got released, he's not poor anymore. Because he's already renewed two contracts.
See, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, how long do you have to be there before, if you're released, that you can go, all right, I don't need to work, though, anyway?
Probably two contracts.
Wow, that's fucking wild.
Look at Ryback. He doesn't need to work anymore. He does nothing.
Yeah, fucking sits on a fucking podcast, makes his bullshit supplement. Mysterios versus Otis and Gable. It's funny because my buddy was telling me when, I guess Dominic goes to his tattoo guy in LA. And so he was telling me about the tattoos that he was getting before it was revealed. He got a fucking weird one. Other than the Mysterio, he got some fucking, what the fuck did he get? My buddy showed me a fucking picture. It was like a character. I'm like, the fuck is this? Let me see. I'm going to fucking go back. I'm going to tell you because it's fucking weird. Let me see. Go to his text. Okay. Oh, fucking Dracula.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that's all fucking about. He got a fucking Dracula tattoo. Okay. Mysterios versus Otis and Gable. Who gives a shit? Mysterios win. Cesaro's in the ring waiting for Roman's answer. And he says, you know, will I get a title shot? And Roman comes out there. He says, fuck you. I ain't give you shit. However, I'll give it to Brian, but here's the stipulation. If I win, you're fucking gone. I'm done with you. You're out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. So this is what you had said. I would assume this is from what you had said, that it's pretty much retirement time.
Yeah. I just feel weird that they would retire him on SmackDown.
On SmackDown, yeah. There's no, and they keep doing the whole, well, you have to leave SmackDown. So does that matter?
I don't think so. I think that he would, I still think that he, there's a match in there with Edge where he can go out with, which he can go out on. Because that wasn't done yet.
So
I don't think that was done from what happened at Mania.
So next week, that is going to be your SmackDown. So now let's get on to Raw. I want Billy to tell me what happened on Raw from his notes. And Billy going to be the one to do his summary for Raw because he watched. So I'm going to hear everything he said because I didn't see any of it. I've seen obviously pictures and I've seen some rundowns online and stuff like that, more so from Instagram. So I would like him to tell me the story and see how it runs that way, since I've never just said fuck Raw.
Jesus. Let me just begin at the beginning. I've got my notes here, but I don't even have like an overriding take on this because I try not to do for us not to do the same show. I'll have the same viewpoint like every single week.
I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing. I go, you know what? I go, it gets fucking repetitive because it's the same thing of us going, the fuck is wrong with them? And I said, well, did they listen to all the fans, including us, when we said, why do they have fucking Drew being the number one contender? Because they took him right out of it.
No, he's still a number one contender.
But isn't Braun get the shot now?
No, this is the point. I have this in my notes because this is where I knew Strowman was going to win. But let's get to it. I'll run through this quickly. So as we know, like, it's been beyond atrocious since Mania. So so you look at the lineup usually, and you think, okay, because they normally like try and reel you back in with a lineup once it's been bad.
Mm-hmm.
But this fucking lineup is bad. Like this lineup is like these two six-man, six woman, one six-man tag team match you don't give a shit about. Drew and Braun are fucking facing retribution again. Like,
I see it on SmackDown. And I mean, talk about a backfire. Like you just said, the lineup is shit. I heard the lineup and I didn't watch because of it.
Right. So they begin with that fucking tag match that no one wants. But they didn't just find a way to make that like even after doing it last week, they didn't manage to find a way to make it 20, 30 minutes on this show as well, because they do a handicap match first, because Braun says to Drew that he can beat them by himself. I mean, the first thing he says is he wants a thank you from Drew. Like, these two haven't spoken for the entire week until, not even during the whole day. Maybe you didn't speak all week. Maybe you didn't. Why didn't you speak after the match? If you wanted a thank you, why don't you say it after the match? Okay, so you let him go home. You know, Drew went back home. His like car drove home. You know, did had his week. Went to the gym. At like, you know, 18 mils. Came back and turned up here. TV taping. Reported in at 11 a.m. Apparently, didn't walk past Braun Strowman all day. And then they meet each other at the curtain just before the match starts, and he wants a thank you. He wants a thank you from Drew for saving him. Obviously, Drew doesn't say it, so he turns around and goes, fuck you, I'm going to have a handicap match.
Handicap match,
like, ends in a fucking DQ, right? So Drew comes out anyway, and then they start the match that we should have got last week. So this then, they go to, like, commercial break, and then just, like, runs along, like, you know, just for 10 minutes of you know, boring shit that was happening last week anyway. And it doesn't really have a finish either, because Drew accidentally clotheslines Braun.
They
can't get in and get counted out. And then Braun just like power slams Drew. That's it. Like retribution just run off. So this is fucking trash. Like if I was Drew, I would start talking to Braun, because Braun Strowman knows exactly what it's like to start losing your push and your star power week by week. And that's exactly what's happening to Drew. I mean, Braun knows also about losing your hair and the thickness of it. So they can talk about loads of stuff. Like he should start calling him and not wait to talk to him just before the matches start. So that was that. Drew wants a match with Braun, and Adam Pearce just makes it. But when they ask Braun later on about it, and Braun says, "Oh, I didn't get pinned in that triple threat, so I'll face Drew if he puts his title shot on the line." That's important to remember, that very thing. He goes, he wants a title shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's important to know. Where are we at here? I put four dead characters standing in the ring doing their dead repetitive spiel, which is The Miz trying to get you to watch Miz and Mrs. and talking about selling out Bad Bunny's tour for him and then pushing his like WWE 24. Then he hands over to Elias, who's going to sing. Oh. They get interrupted by the fucking Damian Priest and The New Day, when this was advertised as The New Day and Jeff Hardy, right?
It was advertised as that?
Yeah. He's not even there. Damian Priest is there, which actually does make more sense.
Yeah.
And they say they're going to like basically grade the performance for how it deserves. And they have like tomatoes.
And
start throwing them at him.
I saw Morrison got hit in the balls.
Yeah. But the thing is that these tomatoes, first of all, they're fresh. They're not even rotten. So they don't need that part of it's not even right. And at this point, you watch this and I just think to myself, anyone watching this without some kind of weird long-term loyalty,
yeah,
just fucking turns this off. Like, well, you didn't even watch, but like, this is Nickelodeon without good storylines, or the possibility that your kid may actually learn something. That's why you put Nick on. It can be entertaining. They tell stories. There's like moral of the story, that kind of stuff. Oh, the moral of this story is, or you might fucking learn something from the show. But generally, like, the storylines in SpongeBob and whatever is on, it makes more sense than this. I mean, they don't even write SpongeBob without a storyline. Like, there's a storyline in every episode of SpongeBob. There's no storyline to this. They're just going to throw tomatoes at these guys and then beat them in a shitty wrestling match. Sonya, now this is how abused I am. Sonya brings in Charlotte through the back and brings her in through the back door. into the building so Pierce doesn't know about it, right?
Yeah.
Takes her out to the ring and gets like the referee to apologize to her. Gets her to apologize to the referee, sorry, and reinstates her. And then Charlotte asks for the referee to apologize to her because the referee admitted that he made a mistake. So at this point, I'm just thinking, this product is so bad that I would actually take this, and I even in my head, this is good because it's an actual story. And because Charlotte's like good in her role, because she basically said, now you need to, she was out there to apologize so she can reinstate her job. And she goes like, hold on a minute. The referee just admitted he made a mistake. So shouldn't you apologize to me? And he does it. And she says something like, good boy, like that. Like, so just small things like are all I need, and a story.
So is now Sonya's a bad guy again?
Well, Pierce said to her, why didn't ask me about, you didn't tell me you were doing that when she walked backstage with Charlotte, and Charlotte's just like grinning. So this is where we get the bit where Braun said he only wants a title shot. And this is where I put initially in my notes, because I didn't know where they were going. I just said this company can't announce a match early and just build it. Now that's short of ideas. Mm. I said, even if Lashley is like a week away, just make a video package and have Drew win the match win a match against somebody and then cut a promo rather than convoluting all this shit. I had absolutely no idea what they were going to do at the end of the show at this point. So up next, you have Sheamus coming out with the open challenge. Humberto answers it again. It's not worth talking about.
Pete Gass, like, he come out there. What are they? Dale Gass, that's what it says. That's his shirt. Dale Gass. I go, what the fuck? Who the hell is Dale Gass?
And the dumbest shit is that this guy has been like nothing for a year. So I'm supposed to like, this is the thing. We're supposed to all the work, like forget everything that they did to make people like mean nothing. And now they're supposed to mean something because he gets like one up on Sheamus. I mean, last week Sheamus killed him, but this week, like, he got the upper hand.
He came out, a while back and was hot. Now he disappeared for fucking how long? I mean, we hadn't seen him for fucking ages.
Yeah, he got killed during the where he was sticking up for Dominic during the Seth Rollins thing.
Yeah,
and he's not been in since then.
Jesus.
So Lashley comes out, and this is where he makes the main event like more confusing, because he says, he's out, and I just say, this is 1 hour 15 minutes in now at this point where you see Lashley for the first time. He's actually coming out to talk in a minute. I'll talk about that in a second. They come back from an advert and they are advertising the biography shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that at this point, you're highlighting a better use of my time. I could have watched two biography shows on Piper and Randy Savage at the same time that I invested in this Raw. Like, what the fuck makes more sense at this point to watch? Rhea Ripley speaks. She's awful. Lashley then does come out, and I make the observation that it's incredible how he feels like a bigger star just by taking 1 week off, simply due to the fact that how badly all the other main events are booked. So you got Drew with Braun, they're feuding Retribution, Orton's tied in with Riddle. It's pretty basic. It's easy to see why Brock matters even now, because like Lashley wasn't there last week. He hasn't been like muddied down with all this bullshit, and it makes him look bigger. So he speaks, he's fine. But they're now talking about a triple threat match. The triple threat match is something we were never, ever told of. So Braun was asking to take Drew's place, right?
Yeah.
But there's a brand new interpretation by these two. They're coming out and going, I don't want a triple threat match. He goes, it's not fair. I lost my last title on a triple threat. So now I know Braun is winning, because they didn't even have this. Like, when it was Braun replacing Drew,
yeah,
which is what he asked, that was one thing. Now it's a trip. Now they're saying if Braun wins, it's a triple threat. So they're not even taking Drew out. So
oh my God!
Totally obvious he wins. But the thing is there was no mention of that before. These guys came out and told you about a triple threat. So obviously this is what they were booked, and obviously these guys were delivering their script correctly. But it was Strowman that must have delivered his bit incorrectly at some point.
Oh my God!
Pierce didn't bounce back and go, okay, I'll tell you what. If you win, we'll make it a triple threat. But no, Braun asked to replace him, and he said, "If you beat Drew, you're in the match."
You know, so it's like they don't even go, All right, a guy missed something. We have to kind of talk about it to make it make sense. They go, fuck it. Barrel through. Here's your lines. And we'll just keep on fucking pushing because that's the only excuse. They have to have just said, fuck it.
This show is, you don't even understand how much of a fucking mess this is. Because they're like, the Raw after Mania, they were doing rewrites all the way and changing things to the end. And by the time Orton had shot what he'd shot, and they had decided to do to put a fun house in the show, even though Bray was going away for a bit because he's got mental issues. And Alexa, they decided that they were going to do this new character with Alexa and keep her on TV. Randy Orton had already said that Alexa Bliss and the Fiend are gone and won't be seen again. they already recorded it and aired it when they were already like, and then the thing is, even in the order that it was shown, Alexa's part aired before Orton had said that the Fiend and Alexa are gone and won't be seen again.
Jesus Christ.
So it's just a fucking mess all the way through. Oh, a lazy mess. Mm-hmm. Riddle's backstage doing his whole drug thing. He's interrupted by Orton, who says they want to team up tonight. And I, at this point, I think I see what's coming. I think he's teaming up with him to, like, set him up to, like, beat
him up. RKO him, yeah.
But then we get to the fucking match, and Corey Graves ruins everything by predicting that Orton's going to do it and keeps talking about it. Here it comes. Here it comes. This is where he's going to get.
Oh, fuck. So
and
then it's not going to. Yeah. Okay. No, of course not.
He
it's what side is Hogan
thing.
On?
And also, like, they're facing, like, Negro Job Squad here. Like, so, and Cedric and Benjamin, like, never going to beat anybody ever again for some reason.
From fucking champions to they're the fucking Job Squad now. That's fucking unbelievable.
No, and so, like, Orton does the draping DDT, then tags in Riddle, and he does, like, spinning bro, and he gets the win. And there is no turn, because Corey Graves is just constantly talking about it. There's backstage segment where Nia gets flowers from Gaza. She thanks Reginald for him, but they're from Gaza, so she uses him to, like, beat up Mandy Rose with the flowers. pointless. Then there's that six-woman tag that nobody wants. The muscly, unattractive blonde bimbos come down to the ring with a water bucket. They come down with a water bucket.
So we get
the tomatoes and the water bucket on the same show. They throw it over Shayna. Nia comes out when the water's on the floor, and she, like, has to make herself slip over it, which looks fucking terrible. I don't know who's fucking pitching.
So they got
water buckets, tomatoes, and then they had green slime, like, a month ago. I don't know if there's somebody came in from Nick, like there's a Nickelodeon hire or some shit. I don't know. Lana and Naomi cannot run the ropes. If you watch anything on here, watch them going off the ropes. They like fucking, like if you've done any kind of wrestling school, you know that you run at the rope and the way you get the momentum is like you push your like hand on the top rope and push it back and then spring off it. They don't know how to do that. So like they like jog up to it. They like jog up to it. And as they get there, they basically turn their back around at like the minute speed that you can and graze into the rope. They don't know how to run the ropes. Anyway, Lana gets pinned by Nia after Rhea Ripley hits the riptide.
Lana, the best outfits before a match and the worst outfits during a match.
I know no one's going to ask this, but why did Lana need to survive Survivor Series that finish? Like, where did that
maybe they
go?
Thought they were going to do something at the time. They changed their mind. It had to. I mean, the whole thing was her getting that revenge on 5,000 table breaks, right? And didn't even matter. It's like...
No, she got some like spots in the Rumble and that was it.
Yeah.
So it's taken me 2 hours now to attack this announcer, but he's... He's been dog shit throughout. Throughout. And they say Charlotte is up next. So there was a backstage skit where Sonya has a go at Mandy. So she's at least something consistent that they go back to that and remember that like one beat one to get one out of the company. You know, she's supposed to have her head shaved, but you know, they didn't do that. But like still, they remember that. So she goes, you guys are so like bad being out there. Like you now have to face Charlotte as your punishment. So Mandy has to face Charlotte, at which the announcer says, up next, Charlotte is up against this talented young woman, Mandy Rose.
Well, isn't it promising young woman? because of the fucking movie at the Oscars. That's what he's fucking going for. That's exactly. They're trying to be pop culture reference.
This guy's doing so much pop culture. It's ridiculous.
I heard him scream. Someone came to the ring and it was, oh my God. And it was like the music had been playing for a fucking hour. And you're like, oh, it's, I can understand if you had to be the commentator and they told you, you need to fucking play it up and you need to be excited. Do you know how fucking hard that would be right now? You'd have to, oh my God, look what's going on. Like, I mean, cause you'd be like, really, like, who gives a fuck? And you'd have to pretend to be so fucking, oh wow, look at this. Oh my God. It would be, I can't imagine even having to fucking do that at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got that in here. This match is nothing. like the referee is still, Charlotte and the referee are arguing the whole time.
Oh, so it's that same referee.
Yeah, so you think Mandy might win, but she doesn't. She still loses, even though Charlotte's in the feud with the refs.
Okay.
So she gets beaten here. Onto the main event. You know, Styles and Omos haven't been on TV for 3 weeks.
Oh, fuck. Really? Shit. You know what? Yeah, since Mania, they have not been there, right?
No, they didn't even come the next night, so that's weird.
Somebody's got to have the corona, right?
I don't know. Like sometimes like people have like book time off. Like I know now that there's a new
after titles winning. Fuck.
There's like a new thing in the contracts where like they get like some more additional time off and stuff. Last match, main event, Drew loses to fucking Braun Strowman. Now during this match, Lashley and MVP were trying to help Drew, but then. Retribution, when Drew's about to win, Retribution come down and distract him. This is Drew who's like, yeah, I'm never going to get distracted again, like after WrestleMania, yeah. Where MVP like made a noise. But they turn up, like he
MVP made a noise.
Like they come up ringside, he's about to hit the Claymore, immediately he's distracted again, let nothing, turns around, gets power slammed by Strowman, who's like had MVP and Lashley against him the whole match. He ends up winning. Oh, so fucking... Since Mania, Drew's like had 5 matches and has won 1 and lost 4, which was that the triple threat match. He's not bothered either after this match. Like, you know, in terms of
you shake his hand. They're friends again. They shake his hand.
They're squaring up. Like they're like they're talking to each other and like, you know, like Hogan and Andre at WrestleMania 3. They're like. Talking some shit that you can't really hear, and then they both turn around and just point, and like Hogan, they point to Lashley, like Lashley's the fucking WrestleMania sign.
Oh,
but instead, like, oh, and this is the other thing: when they fucking win, they go, "Then Strowman is going to WrestleMania."
Backlash.
It's so fucking stupid. Wow. So here's the thing: I don't know what Mason Teabag are doing. Like, they can't be with MVP now because they've just given him the result he didn't want because Lashley was trying to make sure it was 1-on-1. Yeah. It's a fucking mess. Like, I don't know how this match is better than we have, what we had, even though it's different just because maybe it's different. But, like, if you're trying to protect Drew, Drew's just lost 2 matches in, like, 3 weeks anyway. He got pinned by Lashley, and he got pinned by Braun while Lashley was helping him. So he's had more losses in 2021 than he had in the whole of 2020. WrestleMania Backlash, I don't know what this is. I don't know who came up with this idea where they were going, we're going to call it WrestleMania Backlash. We might trick some people. They might think, oh, it's like WrestleMania again, like the third night of it or some shit. Man. I don't know how dumb people could be. Like, the only way this could be dumber is if you had still the same WrestleMania sign and then, like, in some, like, you had, like, brown cardboard, right, stuck over it, and then a felt and a black marker pen and Sharpie you wrote Backlash. That's the only way this could be more stupid than what it is.
Maybe I'll like it once there's people again. I mean, like, you hated Mania, and I was like, I was completely fine with Mania.
I didn't hate Mania. I hated the way it was booked.
Yeah.
I thought the booking was terrible.
Because I was like, oh, human beings outside. I was like, I could care less at that point what they did. I was so fucking happy to have human beings. It made such a difference, but I'm like, and now it's back to this again. I go, fuck, man. I don't fucking know, man. It's just, it's fucking rough. It's, It's very fucking difficult. And for if it was 2 hours, it is still, it's a different fucking world. 3 fucking hours of just bad. That is a waste of life.
That's the thing, like, you know the crowd aren't gonna be there, so, and you know they're not gonna be on SmackDown, so you're looking for stuff that you can at least follow and have an interest in seeing, you know, oh, how's this gonna play out? So, like, now they've done that with Riddle and Orton, and, you know, this whole storyline with Charlotte, and I even admitted that whilst covering, but that's not enough. Like, that's, like, gonna be accumulatively 45 minutes of the show that Orton and Charlotte and Riddle and whatever they're doing is going to take up. Like, Rhea Ripley as a champion is, like, totally lost at the moment. Oscar's lost. Like, the Nia and Shayna and Mandy Rose and Dana thing is the worst, most shittiest, goofiest stuff that I've seen. The Retribution, are they with MVP or not with MVP? Like, that's now, I don't think they even knew what they were doing. I think they're just booking it on the fly. Drew's a mess. Strowman's a mess. Last week, they were, like, saying that they advertised for the entire weekend. Even on Smack, you watched last week's SmackDown, they said, this week on Raw, for the first time ever, Braun Strowman versus Randy Orton. It got cancelled. They changed it, but they didn't even acknowledge that they changed it. They were just like, yeah, we're not booking that now. We just decided that we didn't know what we wanted to do with it.
Wow.
It's like, what? You're fucking terrible. Like, AEW... I'm not saying it's great, it's a watch or any more watchable than this, but the fact is that they would never, ever, ever do a match and then cancel it. And if they did, they'd be like, oh, you know, so-and-so's got an injury or yeah. It's like, they pretended they didn't advertise this over the week.
That's what they do. They always run and just ignore it. It'll go away. Our fans don't know what happened last week. Who cares? That's always fucking been what they've done. I have one of the fans, the Sauce, one of a fans, a listener of ours, he said he was in the Thunderdome. He had to do the fucking, you know, sit on his computer, and he goes, never again. He says, the most boring. He's got to sit there for the full 3 hours and stare at the fucking screen all the time. He goes, I'm never again. I'm dying for you to be on there. I'm dying for you to fucking do it. You got to do that for Monday. Why don't we try that? You do the Thunderdome.
I've applied for Thunderdome a few times, and you just always, like, you're always full. You don't get it.
Really?
But, like, I mean, what's it going to be? Like, it's just me watching Raw anyway on my laptop expecting to
pretty much
jump around and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean...
It'd be funny to see you do it, though. If you were there front and center, it'd be funny as shit.
No, I don't think they'd put me front and center, but...
That'd be great.
Jesus.
Well, you're ethnic, so they probably would put you front and center. They got to try to look like they fucking, you know... are for everybody.
This is hard, like, to get through. Like, when you're looking, like, in terms of, okay, let's pretend that there was no clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no clock, like, you know, because every time you watch it on, like, a DVR, you, like, forward it, you know how long there is or whatever.
Yeah.
But so let's pretend that they didn't do that, right? You could just, like, there was no adverts. Or there was adverts, but you just didn't have the choice of fast-forward them, and you didn't have a phone. I'm telling you right now, unless obviously from experience, there is no way that you could feel when it's an hour or an hour 15 or an hour and a half or 2 hours. You couldn't get near. I was convinced. I was 100% convinced at this point where I checked the time, and this is why I made a timestamp of 1 hour 15, that this was that Bobby Lashley, when he came out, that he was coming out for the start of the final hour of talk.
Mm.
Honestly, the feel that I felt for the time that had gone by watching it, I was like, oh, 2 hours. Like, because I was like, obviously, Lashley's going to be the thing that, you know, he comes out and talks at the, you know, the 2 hour mark. No, it was the 1 hour mark. Mm. Like, it was just after the 1 hour mark. What they did on the 1 hour mark was the Charlotte apology, I think.
Yeah.
Or whatever was after that. Shit, what was after that? Hold on a second. Go back to my notes. I'm trying to work out what would have been the, you know how they do something big at the end of the hours, because I don't know why they think more people will watch or whatever.
You said Braun wants his title shot, Sheamus open challenge. That's after the apology.
Yeah, but I'm looking for what's before the apology.
Oh, before it is the setup for Drew and Braun later. It's like the whole beginning of the show, pretty much. Four dead characters.
No, four dead characters is like, yeah, that's like 35. That's like 30. That was at like half an hour to 45 minutes. Then she brings Charlotte through. That Drew, that Braun segment, that's just a backstage segment.
Mm-hmm. So the tomatoes.
No.
And then the match. The tomatoes and then the fucking match between all of them?
No, I think it's Charlotte. I think, the tomatoes and all that when they're talking. That is all like half an hour in, and that takes like, that's got to take you to Charlotte coming out. Mm-hmm. So Charlotte had to be the thing. Charlotte had to be the thing that was like on the hour mark. The Sheamus thing with Humberto was only about 5 minutes, and the Sheamus and the Braun backstage bit was like a minute. So yeah, so that's what they did. So yeah, so the Charlotte thing was there. So I don't know why I felt this way, it must have felt like to me that the tag match was the end of the first hour, because they advertised it. I don't know, but my point is that if you watch this, there's no way that you'll be able to like guess how long is left. Like let's say for example, at any point after an hour, right, you paused it and I said to you, how long is left?
Yeah.
There's no way you'd get the right time.
So it's not even like that big lead up and oh, we get Lashley, meanwhile it's way fucking early. That's the painful thing. You look at, because I've done it a million times while I'm watching Raw. I look up at the clock and I go, oh my God, I'm only an hour and a half in. Like, it's like I want to kill myself. I go, that's a sad fucking thing.
But this is the thing. Here's the other thing, right? Here's the other thing about it to make a comparison. If I'm sitting there and I'm watching 4 hours, if I'm sitting there and I'm watching 3 or 4 episodes of Cobra Kai, right? Mm-hmm. Bear in mind, Cobra Kai has no adverts. So it would be 3 episodes with adverts, or it'd be 4 episodes overall. Like, you know, we're constant back-to-back as it is on Netflix. But let's say Cobra Kai had adverts that I fast-forward through, because I fast-forward through the adverts of Raw. So my real time investment here is 2 hours and 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. That's actually how long the content is without the ads. So that's 3 episodes of Cobra Kai. I don't feel 3 episodes of Cobra Kai. I don't hate 3 episodes of Cobra Kai. I watch 3 episodes and I look and I think to myself, oh shit, it was like 1 o'clock.
Time fucking disappears when you actually are watching fucking good thing.
Right, exactly. It's like, oh shit, it's like 3:20. Fuck, like I haven't done anything today. I've just sat here and watched. And it's literally happened to me. I'm using the example because the other day I was packing I was back at my dad's, like grabbing some more shit. And I had Cobra Kai on in the background. And then like there was some bit on and I just sat there and watched. First of all, like good, it will slow you, background TV. It doesn't matter how many times you've seen it. It's a good show.
Yeah.
First it will slow you down and then it will stop you. and that's the thing, like that is what a good TV will do. There should never be a TV where you go, where it's a case of fucking hell, like is that all I've watched?
Yeah.
Like there's no, with all the stuff going on, like okay, they're reliant on people like us who are going to be like, shit, is that all I've watched of this fucking shit? I've only like there's still another 2 hours left. If something makes you feel like that, if you're a normal person, you don't watch that.
No.
Anything that makes you feel like, shit, this is dragging like a motherfucker every single week, you turn it off because you don't have the loyalty to that. They're absolutely reliant on me and you and everybody else who has that loyalty to turn around and have the feeling of, fucking hell, this is long. But you know what? I have to watch it because I've always done this.
It's 100% fucking right, because I watch that biography thing. You're like, oh, fuck, that was 2 hours? Fucking blew past, you know?
Well, that was the same thing with The Miz thing that I watched. I actually watched The Miz 24, and it is good. But I just can't understand your business model. I just cannot understand how you can continue to get by and think it's okay and just go like, eh, they're going to come back. They're hooked.
Jesus.
We got them. Like, we're fucking, we're like, it's like they're the fucking drug dealer. And
It's a sports team. It's the same as like the fucking Cubs used to be or whatever. They're like, oh, we sell out even if we're trash or not. The same with the Bears. We're fucking trash, but we sell out the stadium. We don't need to fucking do anything. They will still buy.
That's a better analogy because the sports team one works better because this team mm-hmm. in the late '90s they won everything. They were like winning everything.
They were the Bulls. Oh my god! Yeah,
look at us. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God! They might be actually their success may coincide with the Bulls. Actually,
I think it pretty much was 98 was the fucking end of that. Yeah. So yeah.
But that's the thing. Like at least the thing is that you know when they were winning everything, like in the late '90s, at least in the 2000s, at least they've always been a playoff team. And like now it's like.
Yeah. Now they're like the fucking Jags. They're trying to
now
fucking.
It's like they're fucking. Look, and the thing is that the difference is like there's not even a fucking number one draft pick at the end of this. It's like you can't even sit there and go, oh, we need to tank through this year. Yeah. It's like fucking.
There is no reward at the end. It's the Raiders. It's Al Davis is now running this fucking show. And
I can't see where the hope is going to come from. That's the worst part. I'm hopelessly watching, literally.
It's sad, but it's almost like, well. When he goes, maybe that fucking helps. But then again, careful what we think because it might be even fucking worse. It might be even fucking worse. I couldn't believe I said, oh, look, Vince was funny as hell on the Piper thing. Did you see the Piper thing?
No, I haven't yet. I don't get those shows. I need to download.
Oh, my God. Group. He gets on the phone before the show starts and he goes, hey, Roddy, what's going on? Like he's on the phone and I start thinking, I go, is this an old thing? Like I'm like. He's talking to him on the phone. He's dead. But he's fucking around and he goes, oh, it's pretty hot there. Okay. And then he goes, what do you mean you're saving a place for me? No, I don't plan on not anytime soon. And then this, and I was like, oh, it was fucking funny. And then he goes, and after he gets off the phone, he goes, no, I'm just going to talk. I'm going to say good stuff about you. And then after he gets off, he goes, I'm just kidding. He's in heaven. He's not in hell. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But I'm like, I wonder if people are offended by it. They go, oh my God. They said he was in hell. So, but yeah, watch that.
Well, that's the thing I heard about these like documentaries and like they basically replaced Hulk Hogan with Booker T because at the last minute, because they basically couldn't
really
approach any other subjects. Like they were very, very difficult. They were very, very careful in terms of not to approach. I mean, they touched on Austin and his kids, mm-hmm. but they didn't touch on anything like with Deborah.
No.
With the Warrior stuff, there's not, no gay bashing or anything like that. So, I really like had to clean these up. They made a decision like towards the end that the Hogan one, there was no way of doing it without like without cutting, you know, without like ignoring them, without addressing the last 5 years. So they decided just to basically just not do it. Jesus. So these fucking black people have ruined everything for Hulk Hogan.
Well, that is it for our wrestling show this week. If you want to hear stuff where we don't talk about wrestling, that would be my podcast, and that's over at Lingus Mafia on Twitter. You can find all my links and bullshit there. Billy, where's the best way to find all the inside information before it breaks?
Well, it's at thedirtysheets.com. That's where I give all my news and talk about it with Russo. Two fucking good stories since WrestleMania. That's it. Like two fucking posts.
I admire you for that too, because it's not, I need to fucking have a story. If something fucking happens, you report it. If it's not a fucking story, it is not fucking busy. Not like Dave saying what was going on with Charlotte and Charlotte replying, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
that was so fucking great. Oh my gosh!
No, there's nothing. There's nothing going on at all. But yeah, I mean, hopefully, like, I mean, things are gonna have to like pick up because there's gotta be like they'll spin out through. I mean, this WrestleMania backlash is called that for a reason. In terms of, there's just a lot of like rehashing and rematches, and doing things until they get back on track. And then I think obviously from May onwards,
There'll be a lot more to talk about as we're trying to find out the new directions that they go into. But I actually don't even know the date of this pay-per-view.
I think they said it was in fucking three weeks from last
Sunday. So it's in May, is it?
Yeah, it's May. Yeah. So it's probably probably the weekend after Mother's Day. That's what I would guess. Yeah, and then you'll have podcasts on poll after that.
Probably be on the 10th then.
Yeah. All right, then, everybody. I'm Cav. He's Billy. We'll see you next week.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big-ass piece of shit.